Our reading today is going to be out of John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. We've been studying the magnificent seven sayings of Jesus, the I Am statements. And today we are on John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that as I speak, Lord, you would speak through me. Father, that you would embed this word into our hearts, that we would grow, that we would be transformatively changed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, praise God. I love some of the t-shirts that we have seen. Highly favored, faith that moves mountain. God says that you are. And then all of those things that he says you are. For those of you who are wondering, mine says the return of Jesus of Nazareth. And on the back, I have, you can't read it on the screen, I'm sure, but there are a bunch of reasons why Jesus may return in our lifetime. And so it's an exciting, exciting thing. So after church, you can read my back of my shirt. Okay. So praise God. Well, I'm excited because as I was driving here this morning, I just kept praying this phrase over and over, praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I kept hearing these words, transformative change. Transformative change. And I believe that the Word of God can transform us and change us. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 speaks of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable worship. And it says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the first place that we need to renew our mind is by understanding who God is. Yes. And actually connecting with God. So in this series, this is why it was so exciting that as I was just praying in the Holy Ghost and just really meditating on my message today, I really got excited about these magnificent seven statements. I call it the Magnificent Seven, and that is because of those I Am statements that Jesus revealed. We started several weeks back out of John chapter 6 and verse 35 that Jesus is the bread of life when he said, "I am the bread of life." And then the second one that we looked at was, "I am the light of the world," taken from John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. And the third one, "I am the door of the sheep," John chapter 10 and verse 7. I am the door of the sheep. Hallelujah. And then the fourth week, we looked at John chapter 10 and verse 11 when it says, "I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. And then last week, we looked at John chapter 11, verse 25, when Jesus spoke to Mary, and she said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." So today, I am the way, the truth, and the life from John 14 and verse 6. And so this statement is so vital to us knowing who God is, knowing what he's like, knowing and connecting with him. All seven of the statements that we have been going through, this is number six. Next week, we will actually cover the last of the magnificent seven, and it is, "I am the vine." But as we look at number six, I want you to understand how powerful this statement is. First of all, he is giving this instruction to his disciples. His disciples have just heard him say the famous passage that perhaps you even memorized as a child, when Jesus goes on and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Verse 1 of chapter 14. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas, in verse 5, said to him, "Lord, we don't know." We don't know. We do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? So I want you to see the context of where the statement, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." The context is, he is answering Thomas. Remember Doubting Thomas? That's what we call him. And truth be known, I think we probably, he has more faith than a lot of Christians I know. He's honest. He doesn't play the religious game. He's honest. "Lord, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail print and the hole in your side." He's not just going to take the religious phrase and take it for face value. So I think sometimes we sell Thomas a little short. And, you know, I'm reminded of a story of a Brother Keith Moore, who's a Bible teacher. Brother Keith Moore was riding in a car with Brother Kenneth Hagin, who is known to be very much, was when he was on planet Earth, known to be a prophet, a teacher, a traveling minister. And Brother Keith Moore at the time was not any of those things. He was in the ministry of helps. All he did was help other ministers. And he was driving Brother Hagin, a well-known minister, he was driving him to a meeting. And Brother Hagin just decided to play a little joke on him. And he decided that he would, you know, just kind of like go back and forth and make some noise. And he went, "Woo! Woo!" And he's just going like this. And then he looked over at Brother Keith Moore and he said, "Did you feel that? Like it was the Holy Spirit." And Brother Keith Moore had an honest response. He said, "No, sir, I didn't feel that." How many of us are that honest? And how many of us are that honest when it comes to our response to God, not just a man, but our response to God, that we're not necessarily just looking for our friends to say amen, when inside maybe we're not feeling amen. Or maybe our faith is not quite there yet. And see, that's what being a part of a community of faith is all about. That when you're weak, we can be strong with you. And when you're strong, we can rejoice with you when you have something going on. And so it inspires me that Thomas, I think, gets a bad rap. And in this particular case, we are talking the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, is talking to his inner core, his leadership team, and he looks at them and he tells them, "Where I go to prepare a place for you." He told them, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He's giving them instruction, and he said, you know. And Thomas goes, "No, I don't get it." You know, I think that God wants that response from us sometimes. When we, instead of just going for the religious, "Oh, I know. Thank you, Jesus." And we just say the right thing. You guys hearing? All right. Thomas was bold enough to say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Where's the way? How do I get there? You said you wanted us to be there with you. How do I get there, Lord?" Have you ever just been that honest with God? They say, "Lord, I feel like you're a million miles away. I feel like, you know, I just don't get it." And you stay there in that moment, not being afraid to ask the question. But what I find is a lot of Christians actually shy away from being quiet enough to ask the question. Being still enough to ask the question. To say, Lord, what adjustments in me do you need to make in order for me to get on the way that you want me to go? What adjustments do I need to make? What do I need to cut out of my life? What do I need to put into my life that's not there? What do I need to change? What do I need to give you? I always say, give God something to work with.
Yes.
You know, Moses, what did he have? Moses, what do you have in your hand? A stick. Right? Whatever you have in your hand. What? How are we going to feed these 5,000? Master, we have some fishes and loaves. What do you have to give God for him to do the supernatural? He wants to do the supernatural, but you've got to give him something to work with. Your faith, stepping out and say, okay, I don't know what to do next, but hey, I'll pick up the phone. I'll make that call, right, Sister Brenda? I'll make that call, right? What is that? That's giving God something to work with, and now things can move and change because God is able to start working and moving on your behalf instead of you sitting there waiting for God to do everything. See, God expects us to cooperate with him. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to not do it for us, but to help us. He's known as the Helper. He's the Helper. He helps us pray when we don't know exactly what to pray for. So we pray in the Holy Ghost. And then when we're quiet enough, God will speak things like today when I was driving down here and God was saying transformative change. And I'm still praying through that because I don't know what that means. Not exactly. Oh, I know what the general term means. But now I'm saying, okay, God, what does that mean for our church? What does that mean for me? Transformative change. What does that mean for the things that I'm believing you for, God? Right? The breakthroughs that we sang about. Oh, this is good. And this is rich. But Jesus' response was just so rich. Jesus' response was, I am the way. I'm the way. Not, I'm a way. In fact, in the Greek language, there's a definite article, the way. It's not a way. So I looked up some statistics and found out that out of all the Christians in the United States, that means people who identify as Christians, people who, if they were asked, are you a Christian? They would say yes. And that could be a variety of different denominations, backgrounds, and teachings, right? 52%, just barely over half, believe that Jesus is the only way. Isn't that interesting? And we wonder why we don't have the victories in our life that we should as believers. It's because we vacillate on whether or not what God says is true. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. And as I reflected on the statement, the way, in the Greek language, it's hodos. It's a path. It is a highway. It's also used in the context of a narrow way. It's not an easy way. It's not a going on flowery beds of ease. It's not that kind of way. It is a roadway. It's a pathway. It is a journey. It's something that you travel on. Jesus said, I am the way, the hodos. And I think it's interesting that over there in Matthew chapter 7, he uses the same word, in speaking about how to connect with God, how to connect into his kingdom. And he said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. He said this, You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, the highway to hell is broad. Its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. I'm just so glad that here at Westchester Family Church that we've chosen the way. Amen? I'm just so glad you've chosen the way, the truth, the life. And, you know, as I was preparing and reflecting about this, I kind of remembered a story that happened to Andrew and I. Andrew is my middle child, and we went on a mission trip to the Czech Republic when he was just about 12 years old. And the Lord had spoken to me and told me to take him on a trip, and we had an opportunity to go. I had gone right after my brain bleed and reconnected, because I had made two previous trips before that to the Czech Republic, working with Pastor Michael Onruk, who's actually been here. He has preached for us. And we have a relationship with also Tom and Irena Liliendahl, who are missionaries to the Czech Republic. And so Andrew and I were on this trip. And we decided on our way home that we were going to explore the city of Prague. Now, the city of Prague has about 1.3 million people, so it's not as big as New York City. But understand something, if you don't speak the language, you don't read the language, this can be daunting, even if you have a phone, even if you have maps on your phone. This can be a big challenge. And we went exploring, we saw some really cool things, but now it's getting really late. And we need to find our way back to the railway station. The railway station for us was home base, because if we could get to the railroad station, then we could get to our hotel from there. And so we knew we had to get to the railway station. Well, we got ourselves lost, big time. I mean, lost. We ended up in the wrong part of town, and every time I tried to turn around, I was lost. It was getting darker and darker. We are in a bad part of town. I don't speak the language, and I felt very, very, very trapped. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been lost in the dark? You ever wondered what was, you know, what was going to happen? You know, now we have GPS on our phones, right? But there was a time not too long ago. Come on, anybody remember? You had to have a map. And you had your flashlight out. You had your map. And if you were hiking and you get lost in the woods, what did you do? You had a compass, right? You looked for the North Star, you know, because the North Star was to point you in the right direction. You know, we live in a society and we live in a day where so many people are lost. And even some Christians have lost their way. And we've lost our way, and the darkness and the anxiety that kind of starts to grip you when you're in that situation. I can remember the feelings that I had. I had a little bit of anxiety with my son, who was, you know, 12 at the time. I had anxiety about the fact that I had my passport on us. What if we got robbed? We would never get home. I mean, your mind starts to play all kinds of things on you, right? And so this darkness was kind of coming around us, and we had to pass through a spot where it was very, really bad. There were drug addicts, open drug use, and drunks that were in between us and the train station. We were lost. We were trying to find our way, and everybody we asked only spoke Czech. No one spoke English. So this was starting, I'm starting to, my blood pressure is probably rising at this point, and you know, and I'm trying to make sure my son is calm. I'm trying to, you know, encourage him. No, God's got this. Don't worry about it. You know, and we keep going up to the maps by the trains. The trains have now shut down. Not the trains, but the trams. The trams and the buses have shut down. So now I can't just jump on a tram or a subway because they're shutting down. It's getting close to like midnight. We're not where we need to be. It's getting scary. And then I heard a voice that sounded familiar. I heard somebody speaking English. And my ear perked up, and I had to kind of tune my ear. Wait, that's English. I recognize English. and so I'm like, we're like through the crowd and through different, you know, groups of people. We find our way, and it's like, and I said, oh, thank God you speak English. Can you please tell me where I am? And this man came over, and he pointed on a map. He said, you're here. It was nowhere where I thought I was. And he said, you're here. You need to take this tram. That's the last one, and it'll take you to where you need to go. Then you're going to have to walk across a dark park, and you're going to have to be really careful because people get robbed in that park. And you're going to have to then walk across the dark park to get to the train station. And I was like, well, thank God for GPS in the sense of human GPS, right? And he got, and so I thanked the man. I was so appreciative. And sure enough, I followed his directions. We got to where we were going, but now we had to walk through that gauntlet of drug addicts and people in this dark park that were just, I just remember saying, thank you, Lord, for your protection and safety. I grabbed my son and I said, I looked at Andrew and I said, Andrew, do not look at anybody. Just look straight ahead. Just do not make eye contact with anybody. Look straight ahead. And I said, do you see that light at the end of the park? That's the train station. We've got to get inside the train station as soon as possible. We're not going to run, but we're going to walk very fast. And we were tired, and we did. We walked, and we just did it, you know. But I'm so thankful that God sent somebody. You know, when you're feeling lost and anxious in your life, in your decisions, Jesus is the way. He's not a way. He's the way. He serves as God's GPS to us. He's our home base, if you will. And whenever we get off track, get away from God's presence, get away from His Word, and we find ourselves in that dark spot, wondering, God, are you even anywhere near? Are you mad at me, God? I want to tell you that God is mad about you. He loves you so much. Jesus steps on the scene and says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. That statement has such weight and such power to it. The second point that Jesus makes in that statement is he says, I am the way and I am the truth. He didn't say, I am a truth. He used the direct article again, the truth. The truth. In the Greek language, it's aletheia. It's where sometimes people name their child aletheia. It means truth. It means truth. And I was thinking about truth, and one of my mentors used to say often, he would say, you know, truth is truth no matter what you do with it. Truth is truth when you turn it upside down, it's still truth. Now, if this were truth, this is a drumstick. I can turn it upside down, it's still a drumstick. You can put it under a microscope, it's made out of wood, but it's still a drumstick. It's still a drumstick. And I began to think about truth. Truth is always going to come out truth. It people can try to twist it. They can try to change. It's not a lie. And the Word of God tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus himself is the embodiment of truth. In fact, Sister Avril, in the worship service, I heard her say these words. I don't know if it was your exhortation that Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Truth is truth. It's just like gold. Okay? Gold is one of the elements that is most unchanged and most valuable. It is one of the elements that they can heat it up and it's still gold. They can put another metal to it, it's still gold. They can make it cold, it's still gold. In fact, gold is so difficult to transform. It always is gold. That's why we call things the gold standard. In other words, it can't be changed. So the truth, Jesus said, I am the way, that means the hodos, the path, the journey, the GPS, if you will, for you. And I am the truth. I'm the truth. You're the, not, oh, well, that's my truth. That's what I hear people say these days. Well, I'm living my truth out. Well, I think God has something to say about that. In fact, there's a world full of relative truths, shifting morals, but Jesus stands in the middle of that as the ultimate truth. And his teachings, and this particular phrase right here, actually provides a foundation so that we know what's right. We know what's wrong. It's his word, his word. Remember there in the Gospel of John, it begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus embodies the Word of truth. And as we study the Word, it will help us to live with integrity and live with purpose. And when we are faced with moral dilemmas and things of that nature, Jesus steps on the scene. He says, I can show you through this gauntlet. I can show you through this anxiety, through this fear, through this situation, so that verse 1 of chapter 14, your heart doesn't have to be troubled anymore. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So as he walks us through, just as I walked Andrew through that gauntlet, and we saw the light at the end. Remember, one of the seven magnificent sayings is, I am the light of the world. Right? So we followed the light. Jesus shows up on the scene not only as the GPS, not only as that, but the truth, so that you can know what's going on. You can actually make a decision and follow that decision based on truth, not based on your truth, but based on truth. And notice he goes on to say, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Point 3, Jesus is life. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus not only gives us the way out of darkness, the way out of confusion, the way out of moral dilemmas, the way out of anxiety, but he gives us truth to combat lies, truth to combat untruths, truth that comes directly from God, so that we can be those Christians who do believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's 66% of us that do, that identify as Christians, I said this Wednesday night, that believe in the literal resurrection of Christ. There's another 34% that are not so sure. So I don't know about you, but I'd like to stick with truth. I'd like to stick with God's word, because I can believe that and take it to the bank, if you will. And Jesus said, he said, I am the life. I'm the life. I'm the life. I began to think about life as spiritual growth, life as the ability to flourish, to have fruitfulness. And when I think about that, I think God wants us to be, he wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be prosperous and fruitful. What have we been saying for 3 years? That you would be generous on every occasion. So not only are your needs met, but that you are generous out of what? An abundant supply that you can give to others. That so that we're not, you know, we're not like other people who rack up debt. So that we are now slaves to the debt or the debtor. But instead, we are then free to give. Free to give out of our what? Our abundance. And you say, Pastor, I'm not living that right now. Take the baby steps to live there. Invite Jesus to be the way out of your financial mess. And he'll show you a way out of it. Ask Pastor Christine and me. We've been there. We've been in financial mess. So it's not like we're saying, oh, we've got it all together. And it takes work to stay out of it. Do you hear me? In our society, easy credit, easy, right? Right? But Jesus is the way, the truth. Follow his truth. Principles on how to live, how to give, how to manage your resources, how to do life. To do life. And it says that he is the way, the truth. If you apply his truth, then you will have life. That word in the Greek language is Zoe, the God quality of life. God wants things to flourish. He wants things to produce fruit so that it continues to multiply. I believe God's plan for this church is to grow, to multiply, to double by the end of the year, right? That is fruitfulness that God is wanting to bring about in us as a church as well, but in you too. And that's why we're doing things like fill the house. That's why there are these tools for you to actually go out and invite, go into the highways and byways. Let's fill this house. Let's fill this house every week. Let's fill this house with the glory of God, hallelujah, and with people, because God's heart is people. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you made an exclusive claim that no one comes to you. No one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Father, I pray, God, that as people are encouraged, maybe they feel like they're in a situation where they feel that darkness, that anxiety, not knowing which way to turn. But Lord, I thank you that you said, I am the way. I'm the truth. Now apply your truth to that. And Father, I pray that the belief that we have in the truth would truly set people free today. The belief in the truth, not just truth, but the belief in the truth. And Father, that they and us and we as a church would experience the life of God like never before. Transformative change. Transformative change begins with steps of faith. It begins with steps following me. As you follow, the light will get brighter and you will be safe. And you will be in a place of plenty. It will be a new open place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray, God, that if there be anybody listening, anybody here that does not know you, Lord, that today would be that day that they would come to know you. Whether they be online or here in person. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise up your hand and say, that's me, and I want to know him. I want Jesus to come into my life. Is there anybody at all? Or you want to recommit your life to him? Raise up your hand in this place. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. If you're online and you are feeling God tug at your heart to come into relationship with him, we're just going to pray a simple prayer out loud, and you can join that prayer, and God will meet you right where you are. So let's pray. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I receive His forgiveness. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you're watching online, we want to know. Please message us on the Facebook message app. We want to pray for you, send you some materials to help you in your walk with God. Praise God. Let's stand as we have our sending out verse right now. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. Thank you for watching and thank you for coming.